Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, I want to thank you that as we get into the Word this evening, that it's going to just be such a blessing to each and every single one of us. It's going to cause us to walk in an even greater level of what you've called us to, Father. In Jesus' name. Yeah, one of the things, after sharing this morning and then sharing this evening, it's a different word, but it's under the banner of freedom, because that's what we're talking about this month. And as I was just meditating on ministering freedom this morning and then tonight, what I'm going to share on, I was just thinking about how, who's seen The Passion of the Christ or something similar? Some kind of movie like that, okay, so the majority. And so you kind of have some kind of picture of what Jesus kind of went through. And I say kind of went through because medical doctors will even say when they read what Jesus went through, it's like it was much worse than what Mel Gibson made it out to be. Okay, it was much worse than that. Okay, like the scripture says that you couldn't recognize him. That's how much he was beaten. That was before he got on the cross. And so, like, imagine being so completely mangled that you can't, no one can recognize you. You don't look human. Yeah. So I was thinking about it and I was like, he went through something so hectic, you know. And if you read through Isaiah 53, I think we're going to get to it just now. But it goes through a lot of the things that Jesus did for us. That's known as the substitutionary passage of scripture, where it's showing that Jesus took your sickness so you don't have to bear your sickness. Jesus took your suffering so you don't have to suffer. Jesus, you know, did what he did so you don't have to do it. He died for your sin so you don't have to die for your sin. Amen? So it's like Isaiah 53 is showing us everything that Jesus did for us so we don't have to do it. We can just enjoy the reward of what he's done for us. Okay? And as I was thinking about that and meditating on it, I was like, and yet, and through that, Jesus came to bring the abundant life for us. Okay, he came to bring us life and life abundant. That's talking about eternal life, which means relationship with God now and forever. So it means you get to go to heaven one day, but you can also get to live in heaven now. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus prayed. So God's will for you now is whatever's going on in heaven. No pain, no sickness, no disorder, no whatever. It's like that's what God's will is for us now. And so as I was meditating on all this, I was like, Jesus paid such a hefty price. And yet so many of us are living way below what he's died to give us. It's not a condemning moment at all. It's just for us to, something for us to think about and realize that there's so much more for each and every single one of us than what we're experiencing in our relationship with God. You know, there's so much more for us. And, you know, we're having the Freedom Conference coming up this weekend. It's on Fridays and Saturday, and then it'll flow into the services on Sunday. And one of the things that you know, we're wanting people to be set free and experience freedom, and we're doing that every week anyway with regard to Freedom Month. But we're wanting to kind of dig into experiencing more of God's goodness. Because, you know, you can be free from sin and just in neutral. You can be free from bondage and just be in neutral and going nowhere. You know, you sometimes someone comes and maybe stirs you up and pushes you because you're neutral. Just that you push forward a little bit, but you don't really experience anything more than that because you're passive. And God wants to move us all out of passivity into a place of actively receiving and walking in what he's got for us. And that means victory. That means abundance. It means fruitfulness. I mean, if you look at John chapter 15, it talks about fruitfulness. And it shows us how God's will for us is fruitfulness. He desires fruitfulness for us. He desires that you be fruitful. Why? It says there, I think in verse 8, it says so that you would bring your Father much glory. And so God wants us to live fruitful lives because fruitfulness represents him well. And so that's where we need to be, in the place of being fruitful. Because we've got Jesus inside of us living out of us. So we're talking about freedom from oppression today. And oppression can be defined as prolonged, cruel, or unjust treatment or exercise of authority. So it's an unjust exercise of authority. It's the state of being subject to oppressive treatment. Okay, so we're talking about any form of oppression. Depression is part of oppression. But it's not limited to depression. Oppression includes sickness. Oppression is basically anything limiting you externally that prevents you from experiencing what Jesus wants for you. Now, I'm not always that good with my examples, so you'll have to think of your own. But everything that you know, if you look at it like this, Jesus healed the sick, he cleansed the lepers, he raised the dead, he cast out demons, and everything he did between that, everything that he did, Peter cut a soldier's ear off and Jesus reattached it. So everything that Jesus did, you know, the scripture says that he came to destroy the works of the devil. So everything that he did like that was destroying the works of the devil, meaning it was a work of the devil. Even with Peter, it wasn't just a work of Peter, it was a work of the devil through Peter. Peter didn't submit to the way of Christ, he submitted to the way of the devil there. Okay, so if you think about it, like we've got to, anything that's a fruit of the devil and what the devil wants for you is oppression, and that's not what God wants for you. He wants you to live free. Okay, and I think the reason why we have to dig into this and look at it again and again and again is because a whole lot of religious lies are out there that God does want you to be in bondage. That he works it out for some bigger glory, that, you know, there's problems in your life because God... You know, that's how God works. Now, I will agree that hardships are certainly, a Christian is designed, as a Christian, you are designed to flourish under hardship. As a Christian, you are designed to flourish under hardship because you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You're more than a conqueror. And so hardships come, whether it's, if it's health, hardships. God doesn't cause the health hardships. He doesn't cause the sickness. But, and he's the solution to it. But in it, because your attitude and the way you deal with it and everything like this, you become a better person because of it. Even though that's not from God, he turns it for his good and for your glory. His glory and your good. Amen? It's the same thing with financial pressure. It's the same thing with any kind of oppression. You are, like, a lot of the time we don't benefit from hardships like we should because we've got the wrong attitude. But that's not what I'm speaking on tonight. We're talking about freedom from oppression. Oppression is the unjust treatment or prolonged cruelty. And so it could be a chronic illness. It could be continuous financial issues. It could be bondage. It could be depression. It could be all sorts of things. Okay? You fill in the blank. But we're going to look at scriptures regarding oppression to show you that it's never from God. God is not the oppressor. He's never the oppressor. Okay, and as I was saying, a lot of religious people believe that he is. And I don't understand that. Because what we're talking about this evening is the goodness of God. We spoke about it this morning, and I never mentioned the goodness of God once. But it is talking about the goodness of God. If you think that God puts hardships and oppression, oppresses you and all this type of stuff and puts sickness in your life, you know what you're doing? You're discrediting the goodness of God. And you won't enjoy relationship with Him like you should. Okay? So, let's look at some scriptures. Firstly, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 8, 13 verse 8, sorry. Now, this is going to be really a Bible study tonight, if it has been. It's always a Bible study, but you know, these are scriptures which you can take down and just go and meditate on again and again to remind yourself of what we're talking about. And you know, the more you meditate on these things, the more they become real to you. Okay? So the first thing I want to say is you've got to remember this thing, because we're going to use a lot of Old Testament scriptures, and we've got to remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Okay, so the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. Testament or covenant is just a different way of relating to us. In the Old Covenant, they were looking forward. There were many covenants, but in the Old Testament covenants, they were looking forward to the cross and what was going to take place. And now we in the New Covenant look back to the cross and what has taken place. Okay? So, but through it all, God's heart never changed. He wasn't angry and now all of a sudden he's a loving God. He was always a loving God. Okay? Psalm 9 verse 9. King James says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. Okay, so now this is saying, you know, what's it? The name of the Lord is another verse, but there's also the song. The strong tower, the righteous run in, and they are safe, right? Okay, the righteous don't run in, they live there. Okay, as a righteous New Testament believer, you don't run into the Lord in times of trouble, you should be living there. Okay, but we only usually turn to God when your back's against the wall, right? Or when you're on the floor and you've got nowhere else to look but up, right? It shouldn't be like that, but that's how it is for most people. But look at this. This is showing us that the oppressed come into the refuge. Okay, God is, what is His job in the Scripture? He's the refuge for the oppressed, right? And so if you're oppressed, what do? You come to God, who's the reliever of that oppression, and you're no longer oppressed. And so whatever oppression that you may be experiencing, you come to God and you no longer experience it. You don't come to Him so that you can suffer through it, but you've got some encouragement. God is not your cheerleader to get you through your oppression. He's the answer to get you out of the oppression. And when you come to Him, He's your refuge and you are no longer oppressed. Okay? So, this is also showing that God lifts the trouble from the oppressed. So whatever trouble you've got, you come to God and the trouble is dealt with. He's not going, rah, rah, you can get through it. Rah, rah, come on. Yeah, persecution, yes, He'll encourage you through that. We looked at that last week. You're not redeemed from persecution. You know, that's for your faith. But every other kind of oppression, God doesn't want you to suffer through. He wants you to thrive, get out of it. Yes, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you know, that's an active thing. You're walking out of it. You're not camping there. Too many Christians camp in the valley of the shadow of death because they enjoy the sympathy maybe, or something like that. Psalm 10 verse 18 says, "To judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress." Okay, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Now, often when we think of judgment, what's our first reaction? We're thinking of being judged, yeah, and it's something bad. Okay, but if you think about a judge in a court of law, they're not always judging harshly. Now, they're not always saying guilty, guilty, guilty. What do they sometimes do? Innocent, innocent. You know, when you die, one of the judgments that you face is, are you righteous or not righteous? Guilty or innocent? If you're born again, you're judged innocent. So you're going to be judged, but if you're a Christian, you get judged innocent. Okay, so there is a positive judgment in our world and in the Scripture. Okay, and this is showing us that judgment, we've got to keep in mind, judgment isn't always in a negative sense. Sometimes we're declared innocent. And in this Scripture, we're seeing that God judges the oppressed. And then what does that mean? He sets them free. He's judging the fatherless and the oppressed. What does that mean? It's in their favor. Okay, He's judging in their favor. And what is the result? They're being set free. So what is His judgment? It's against the oppressor. So if He's judging the oppressed, if you're coming to God and He's your refuge, the oppression is being lifted off of you, and He's judging against your oppressor and dealing with your oppressor, not with you harshly. He's setting you free. He's declaring you free. And let's think about who we're talking about. We're talking about the King of the universe. Okay? Keep that in mind when you look through these Scriptures. The King of the universe. Okay? Psalm 103 verse 6. "The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Okay? "The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed." What's oppressing you? Let God judge that. What is oppressing you? Too often, we don't take it to the judge. We're holding on to it. We're keeping it close to us. We're making it part of us. He wants to judge it in your life. And it's not judging against you. It's judging against the oppressor. Amen? Another thing this verse is showing us is that God doesn't like oppression. That's why Jesus came. People were oppressed spiritually. I mean, there was a middleman, you know, a priest. You had to go through the priest to get to God. You had to do sacrifices. The people were being oppressed because of the, you know, it was a money-making scheme in selling sacrifices so that you could, you know, your turtle doves or whatever, you had to sacrifice your goat or, you know, everything there was a lot of money-making out of it. People were oppressed. God doesn't like oppression. Okay? He doesn't like oppression at all. Psalm 146, 5-7. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help. I mean, we have God as our help. We have God as our help. What do you need help in? What area do you need help in this evening, this week? God is there to help you. And that should make you happy. Okay, we should be happy because of this. So, let me read it again. Happy is he that has God, the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keeps truth forever, who executes judgment for the oppressed, which gives food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoners. So, what we can get out of this is God never puts us in bondage. He didn't put them in bondage to take them out of bondage. We get into bondage quite easily without anyone's help, right? I'm sure many of us are in the messes that we are. We didn't need help getting there. You know, the devil tempts you to list a little bit and you go for it. You know, it's not always just the devil that made my life a mess. It's often we did a good job together. Okay, I know there's some silent amens because you realize that it's true. But this is showing us that God never puts us in bondage, He sets us free. Okay? The devil oppresses, but God looses us. So, if there's oppression in your life, it's from the devil. You need to let God loose you from that. Okay? Look with me at Luke chapter 4, from verse 16 to 19. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Now Jesus is speaking, and at the end of this he says, You've seen this fulfilled. Because that scripture is prophesying about him. This is a quotation from the book of Isaiah. Okay, so it's like maybe about 600-700 years before Jesus, you know, came to earth. Again, what this is saying is that Jesus is saying, this is a prophecy of me. So this is what Jesus came to do. Okay, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor. Okay, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised or oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So to preach deliverance to the captives and to set them at liberty that are oppressed. Okay, those are the two things with regards to freedom that God, you know, that I want you to see in this passage. Now the word preach also can be translated as proclaim, and what it's talking about there is the decree of a king. So now we're talking about the king of the universe who hates oppression and doesn't want you to be oppressed in any way. He wants you to live completely free. And this is saying that Jesus came to deliver a message from the king of the universe and to proclaim. The decree of the king is freedom. He came to proclaim freedom for the captives. Okay? God sent Jesus to proclaim our freedom. Not to enslave us. Not to make us put us in bondage. Not to make us work harder. But to liberate us. To free us completely. Okay? And there's many different things that we're free from the law. We're free from the sin nature. We're free from many things. But in general, you're just free. God wants you to live free. Okay? God doesn't want you to be in any form of bondage. So as I said, this is a quotation from Isaiah 61, and we're going to read verse 1 there. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." So whatever prison you are in, Jesus wants to is standing in front of you and proclaiming that that's open. You're free to go. You're no longer in bondage. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. All these scriptures are just pointing to the goodness of God. All these scriptures are just showing you how much God loves you and how much He's good towards us. Okay? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of God. For God was with him. Many people believe that, like that. They believe that, you know, the oppression is from God. What oppression is it talking about in context there? It's talking about oppression of sickness. Okay? Because it says there that he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing. Okay? Healing the sick. And Jesus is saying that, or that scripture is saying that sickness was an oppression of the devil. Okay? So, Peter was giving an overview of Jesus' ministry here, and he said, you know, that Jesus went about. Another way to translate that is wandered about. So Jesus was just, you know, going all over the place. And what was he doing? Every person that he healed, or every person that was sick he came into contact with, he healed. And what does it say there? Every person that Jesus healed was oppressed of the devil, not of God. Okay, and this healing includes illness. It includes any demonic bondage of any sort. Okay, and Jesus came to deal with that. Jesus' ministry was to destroy the works of the devil. And so, whenever he came into contact with the work of the devil, he destroyed it. And yet, we often just tolerate that in our lives. We often tolerate any work of the devil. What's a work of the devil? Well, salvation. The word salvation in the Greek is soteria or sozo. What does it mean? Healed. It's talking about physical healing. Healed. Delivered. It's talking about freedom. Prospered. It's talking about having enough. Having more than enough. Okay? And being whole. In your emotions as well. In your heart. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So, whenever we see a lack in our lives, sickness in our lives, bondage in our lives, whenever we're not living in freedom, when we're in bondage to sin, whether we're in bondage to religious traditions or whatever it is, we're not enjoying what Jesus has for us. And it's a work of the devil. You know, we often look at sickness as a work of the devil, and it is. Religion is a work of the devil just as much as sickness is. Religion is not good. And we're going to talk about that this weekend coming. Religion is a work of the devil. And Jesus came to destroy religion. You know what religion is? It's man's effort to get close to God. It's man's effort to be right with God. That's bondage. Because you'll never be good enough in and of yourself to be right with God. It's bondage. You could never be match up to God's standards of living right. Religion is man's effort to be right with God. Christianity is Jesus made you right with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus made you right with God. He gave you His righteousness, and now you're right with God. And now you're not welcomed into a new system of doing things for God and a new way of serving God. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about a relationship with Him. And you won't have a good relationship with Him as long as you think that He's oppressing you. Or depressing you. Or possessing. You know, you won't think that He, you know, if you don't think He's a good God, you're not going to have a good relationship with Him. Let me just look at this scripture here quickly. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32. This is why it's so important that we see God for who He really is. Okay, the last part of Daniel 11:32 says, "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." So when we know our God, when we know who He really is, it makes us strong. You want to be a strong person? You need to know who God really is. Okay? And when you know who God really is, it'll make you strong, and then you will carry out great exploits. You will do great or big things for God. You'll do impressive things. You'll do things that impact your world. But it all comes, you can't impact your world if you think God is oppressing you. You know, if you think God is the one oppressing, then you would think that, you know, communism and dictatorship and all this type of stuff, oppressive governments are part of his will. And I know I just hit a nerve because some of you believe that. Oppressive governments are not God's will for any country. Never. God doesn't want people to be beaten and, you know, bad things to happen. He wants people to live in peace and in freedom. Okay, 1 John 3 verse 8, the second part there says that the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. God's will is that we destroy the works of the devil too. Isaiah 53 verse 7. Isaiah 53 verse 7. Now we're going to read this substitutionary passage. It says, he was oppressed. Who was oppressed? Who's it talking about? Isaiah 53. It's talking about Jesus. Now, everything, when we're reading this, everything that Jesus went through, he went through for you and me. And so you've got to see it like that. Okay? He didn't go through it, and then you have to go through it too. He went through it, and now you don't have to go through it. You get all the riches, all the blessing, all the reward, and none of the effort. That's grace. You get all of the rewards and none of the effort. Because Jesus did the effort for you. Have you ever had someone just work hard and then bless you? Well, you're all sitting here, so your parents, yes. The point is that you get the rewards without the work. It's much better with God. Much better with God. It's like you don't deserve it, but he just wants you to be ahead and wants just to bless you and everything. So he was oppressed for you. He was afflicted for you. Yet he did not open his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So he didn't open his mouth so you could open your mouth. Some of you should keep them shut sometimes, but yeah, it's just a joke. But so what we're seeing here is that Jesus suffered and was oppressed for us. Why? So that we don't have to suffer or be oppressed. You can't miss it if you read the scripture. Okay? He bore your suffering so that you don't have to. Amen. 3 John verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Above all things, above anything, he desires that we prosper. What does that mean? Not be in bondage. Not be in bondage. He doesn't want you to be in bondage financially. He doesn't, you know, you can be in bondage financially whether you're in debt or whether you have a lot of money. He doesn't want you to be in bondage financially. He doesn't want you to be in bondage to sin, to any work of the devil, to sickness, to depression. He doesn't want you to be in bondage to anything. Okay? And that's above all things. Now, Deuteronomy 28. I like this, okay? I don't know if you've ever heard me preach on Deuteronomy 28 and the curses and the blessings and stuff. But Deuteronomy 28 is an awesome passage of the Old Covenant showing you the blessings and the curses. Okay, and it says, you know, if you will do everything that I'm commanding you this day, then you will experience all these blessings. And it's kind of like, if. That kind of rules me out. Don't know about you, but if I haven't obeyed all the commandments. And it's telling you if you obey all the commandments, you're blessed with all this. Blessed in the city. Blessed when you come in. Blessed when you go out. Your bread baskets are full. I don't have livestock, but my livestock would be blessed. And, you know, it's just like everything is just blessed, blessed, blessed. And then it says, if you fail in one command, all these curses will come upon you. And then it starts reversing all the blessings. And it says, yeah, you're going to be cursed in the city, cursed in your livestock, cursed in your womb, cursed, cursed, cursed. And it's like, wow, that makes it really difficult. But that's the whole point. You need a savior. You need someone to rescue you because you can't live in the blessing of God by yourself. You can only live in the blessing through Jesus and what he's done for you. Philippians speaks about how Jesus was obedient unto death. Now remember, it's a substitution. What Jesus did was for you. He did it in your place, in your stead. So what does it mean that he was obedient? He was obedient for you. Many of us can't be obedient as much as we try to follow the law and everything that the law says. Do I have a witness? One. Thank you, Etienne. One honest person. You might try and you just don't get it right because there's too many laws and it's too difficult or whatever, but Jesus came and was obedient for you so you can have access to the blessing on his obedience account. So because of his obedience on your behalf, you have access to all the blessing of God. And it doesn't matter that you weren't fully obedient. It doesn't matter that you made a mistake. The blessing, including healing in there, is all yours. But that's not what I'm preaching on. That's just awesome. So Deuteronomy 28, from verse 29, it's talking about a lot of the curses. And I want you to see what's mentioned as a curse. And thou shalt grope at noonday. I like the King James. It sounds more dramatic. As the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled, not in a spoiled kind of good way, spoiled in a negative way, evermore. And no man shall save thee. Anyone have that on your fridge? If I made them, would you buy it? If I gave it away, would you take it? I wouldn't. This is showing that oppression is included under the curses side. This is oppression is part of the curse. It's not God's blessing. And why this needs to be said is that often we think that the oppression, the difficulties that I'm facing because it's a gift from God so that I can be stronger, so that I can have better character. He's trying to work something into me. The only way God works something into you is through the Word. If you have to learn it through a difficult circumstance, it's because you didn't learn it in the Word. Much better to learn it through the Word. It's a lot easier than having to learn it through a difficult circumstance. You can learn through difficult circumstances. You can learn through hardships and through challenges, but you don't have to. You can study the Word and learn it before the hardship comes. And then you don't have to go through the hardship like you would when you were ignorant. Okay, ignorance, there's no cure for it except getting the truth and coming to know the truth. Remember what we said last Sunday evening? How do we experience truth? That verse in John chapter 8 says, "You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free." But just the verse before that, it says, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And then you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So you will never be free just by being a Christian. You have to be, the only way to be free is by continuing in the word and learning what you need to learn. Growing in your relationship with God. So, oppression is classified as a curse. This is what God's opinion of oppression is. It's sad that a lot of Christians don't have the same opinion as God does with regards to oppression. Deuteronomy 28, verse 33, just a few verses down, it says, "The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall be a nation, shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away." Amen. No, don't say amen. This is just showing you oppression is a curse. Oppression is not from God. Okay? Look at Judges. Chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land." Now, I'm sure you've watched The Prince of Egypt or something similar. And so you know the story. The Jews were under a heavy oppression. Okay? The Hebrews were under a heavy oppression. And then, comes Moses on the scene, and God uses Moses and sets the people free. Okay? God didn't oppress the Hebrews. Who oppressed the Hebrews? The Egyptians. Okay? It wasn't God. Okay? God is the answer to oppression. He doesn't cause it. Anything that is oppressive is not from God. Amen? Anything that is not is oppressive is not from God. Colossians 1:13. We've looked at this already in a couple of weeks in a row, but this is a key scripture to walking in freedom. Is realizing that He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So you've been set free from this oppression as a Christian. You might not be living in freedom, but it's because you don't know a lot of stuff. You don't know the true nature of God. You think you might know. You don't know what Jesus has done for you completely. If you're oppressed, you don't know. You're not walking in some freedom. So rather assume that you're ignorant. I would rather assume that I'm ignorant when I have if I'm ever in bondage or experiencing oppression. I rather assume I don't know something. Let me get into the Word. Let me not become prideful and assume I know those scriptures. But let me dig into those scriptures again and meditate on them, because maybe there's a revelation which I haven't gotten yet. Or maybe I just haven't resisted like I should resist. Okay, James 4 verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, so as a believer, I'm submitted to God, and there's always, I can grow in my submission to God by choosing to go with His will, by choosing to believe what He believes or what He says in the Word, by choosing to be this as my standard. But then, I can grow in just choosing what He wants for me, that submission to God. But then it says resist the devil. Resist means to actively fight against. You might have a chronic illness or a bad situation or whatever the case is. Don't just accept it. If you accept it, you submit to it. When you actively fight against it, then you're resisting the devil. That oppression is not from God, it's from the devil. Whatever oppression comes your way, it's from the devil, it's never God. And so how do you actively fight against? Well, that looks many different ways for everyone. It might mean taking communion a couple times a day. It might mean every time that you experience the oppression and you feel it, whatever it is, contextualize it yourself. It might mean that you just need to stop and just pray in tongues and just resist the devil and say, you know what, I'm not going to take this. This is who I am in Christ, or whatever the case is. But it's a case of actively fighting against the devil, and then he flees. So let me ask this question. When do you stop actively fighting against? When he flees, then you've won. But so often, he kind of takes his hands off a little bit and we relax, and then he comes. you just actively fight, cut that giant's head off. You know what? That's what David did. He was standing in the valley, and he sees Goliath, if you don't know the story. And what he said, what does he do? The Goliath starts laughing at him. What does he say? He says, do you think I'm a dog that you what is this? Who's this little pipsqueak that you're sending out to me? Like, come on, send me a real soldier. Because David was just a little boy. And what does David say? God's going to deliver you into my hand. And he prophesies to Goliath. And what does he say? I'm going to cut your head off. He's going to cut the giant's head off. He didn't have a sword. So what was he saying? He was saying, I'm going to take your sword and cut your head off. And that's what he did. He took a stone, knocked the Goliath off his feet, and then he goes and takes Goliath's sword and he chops his head off. Just to make sure he's dead. You got to make sure that demon is gone, long gone, that's been attacking and oppressing you. Okay? And then don't live in fear that it's come back, because you're a blood-washed son or daughter of God. So don't live in fear. Okay? Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 13, it says, and he was teaching, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Sometimes we might struggle with things for a very long time, and we become so familiar with them that it's easy just to manage this. It's not so bad. What was the spirit of infirmity causing? It says there, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. So she was really just like this. She was bent over, and I read some commentaries on it, and some people say that they think it was just scoliosis or some other back bone disease thing, where basically she was just bent over and her bones weren't straight anymore. And why was it like that? Well, she was old, you know. When you get old, things happen. That's not, you know, that's what we accept. But this is an oppression. I mean, if you have to constantly be looking at the dust and constantly, you know, have the dust coming up in your face because you're facing down and you can't look up to see anyone, if that's your condition, it's oppression. It's not freedom. It's oppression. If you're restricted, you're not free. If you're restricted, I mean, yeah, for some health reasons, I mean, I understand you might not be able to eat something or whatever, but that's not freedom. If you're allergic to seafood and you can't eat seafood, that's restrictive. Yeah, my mom was allergic to seafood for 18 years, and she was set free from that. Yeah, you can be set free from, you know, what's his name? Kunrad was allergic to wheat. And all sorts of other things. And he was set free from that. And he eats bread like he wants to. You should be able to eat or drink what you want to. That's true freedom. You know, I've heard the doctors sometimes, you know, you've got this condition. And they're doing the best that they can. I understand that. But I just love the explanation. You know, it's completely normal to live with this condition. You just have to learn to manage it. And it's like, that's not normal. Normal is freedom. We don't accept abnormal and call it good and call it normal. Okay, let's get back to the scripture here. So this woman had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and it caused her back to be bent over and she couldn't lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called out to him. He called her to him. Jesus called the woman to come to him. And he said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Okay? So Jesus spoke over her and said, "You're free." He was proclaiming freedom to the captive. He was proclaiming freedom to the captive. It might be that you're captive in the area of fear or something like that. It might be illness. It might be something else. But the point is that Jesus has proclaimed your freedom. God has decreed that you are free. And if you're not experiencing freedom, it's not God's fault because the freedom has been issued. It's like in the 1600s or so, when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation of the Slaves, the Emancipation Proclamation, and he basically declared that there was no longer slavery. All slaves were free. I don't know how many years, but I know for years after that, probably even up to 10 years or more maybe after that, there were slaves who were still slaves. They were legally free, but they were living in bondage because their boss didn't tell them. Because now he has to start paying his laborers. You know, so they were living in bondage even though they were free. And as soon as they got the news that they were free, what did they do? They were able to leave. It's the same thing with you and I. As Christians, we've been set free. We are free. A lot of Christians live in bondage because they haven't got the memo. They don't know that they are free and that the enemy has no right over them, that sin has been destroyed in their life. You don't have a sinful nature anymore. I mean, if you know that, if you think that you do have a sinful nature, then that's why you're struggling, because you don't know what the word says. You don't have a sinful nature anymore. You don't have a drive and a desire to sin anymore. You have a righteous, born-again, holy nature inside of you. And so, you know, if you identify with this woman or just that you're experiencing any oppression, and I want to encourage you, tonight we want to just minister to you, pray for you, and I believe you're going to experience complete freedom because that's God's heart for you. And it's not necessarily just a bondage to sin. So don't feel ashamed if you respond and you're like, I want complete freedom. It might be a relational bondage, or it might be, I don't know, you know what your situation is. But the thing is as long as you're living in bondage, you can't enjoy the freedom and the abundant life which God has for you, and you'll never be a real blessing to anyone. Because bondage gets you focused on yourself. Bondage causes you to have that pity party that no one wants to come to. You know, it causes you to be self-focused, and as long as you're self-focused, you can't be God-focused and blessing to others-focused. And it just makes things very difficult. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-880-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.